Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson, and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher, and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonant Space.
So we are here to talk about ritual.
Yes. I'm going to excuse us for earlier year kind of colds and sniffles. And yeah, I've got my hot honey tea here, so hopefully that's helping. But yes, no, I love this topic actually. And the fact that we've just come out of a season of rituals.
Huge amount of rituals.
Mm, with Christmas, New Year. Depending on what you believe, obviously we've got the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there's loads of when it comes to rituals. So I guess if we talk about, because you've got personal rituals, spiritual rituals, religious rituals, society ritual, there's loads, isn't there? And I think what's interesting is that that almost sets us apart from other species, doesn't it?
As far as we know.
As we know. But maybe in the kind of the elaborateness of them. Mm. Oh, is that a word? Elaborateness?
I think so.
Yeah.
Sounds right to me.
Sounds right. Yeah, exactly. Because a ritual can be a mix of kind of, I guess, songs, words, steps. You know, you can get, I guess, like a from the beginning to the end of a ritual, there's a set of steps. There's a sort of collective gathering. There's lots of elements to a ritual. Well, there can be. Again, there's sort of different types, isn't there?
Do you find, I was thinking about this, that preparation is a huge part of the actual ritual?
Yes, I think so. I think it has to be. Depending on what the ritual is. Because you've also got, I guess, daily personal ritual. So for me, a ritual every morning is I have my cup of coffee in my cup, the same cup every day, and I listen to a certain kind of morning playlist mm-hmm. that I find grounds me. So that's a ritual that I'll have every morning that doesn't need any preparation. Or maybe it does. I have to make sure I have my coffee. I have to make sure I have the right milk. Yeah, maybe there's a, yeah, maybe even with a simple ritual, there's a certain amount of preparation.
Yeah, I was thinking about that before you got here, is thinking about the rituals that we have every day, even if we don't realize that they are rituals, and that in preparation for, say, you're getting ready to go out, you know, you got to pick out what you're going to wear, or jewelry, make whatever you do before you go out, that is
could
a
be.
Ritual.
Yeah, definitely could be. Is it a ritual if you're not focused on it, if you see what I mean? If it's an automatic response, so say for example I get up and I brush my teeth, I wouldn't call that a ritual because it's just something I do every day.
but
I haven't in I suppose I have to interesting. I'm now sort of thinking backwards.
I think it's one of those unconscious rituals.
Possibly. Then I bring into question if it's a ritual, if it's unconscious. Because I feel like any rituals that I do, for example, in a, let's say, a women's circle or a full moon ceremony, they're very consciously rituals with a purpose, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or an intention. Maybe not a purpose, maybe
intention.
An intention.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, when I think about cleaning your teeth and getting dressed, that has a purpose. It's kind of a mundane, you know, everyday thing that you have to do. Yeah, interesting. Don't know if there's a...
I think you're right. I think the difference between a ritual and a habit...
I'm trying to think of another word for it. Yeah,
yeah, like a ritual is almost can be a habit that you are purposely thinking about with intention, I guess.
True. In which case... Everything's a ritual. No.
Well, it could be.
It could be. But then I think what's interesting is where rituals came from. I personally don't know the origin of rituals and how the first one came about, but I did read somewhere that one of the first sort of rituals that set us apart from other species was burying our dead.
Mm.
So that was one of the first, you know, ways that we kind of indicated a passing of time, I guess. You know, I guess with a lot of these rituals, they're, you know, an event in your life, aren't they? So, for example, maybe a wedding or a funeral, or if someone's having a baby shower, you know. So they're definitely, I would say, rituals. They're kind of gatherings of people to celebrate whoever it is.
or something specific.
Something specific in their life. So I read that a funeral was one of the first rituals that kind of came about.
Mm.
And I'm wondering now, I don't know the answer, if that was before religion? Did we do that before religion? Or was religion then spurred, you know what I mean, that kind of funeral rites and that sort of thing?
I'm thinking...
Or maybe it changed. Maybe it was there was the ritual of burial without God and without kind of religion, and then it kind of evolved, possibly.
It might have started out of necessity.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or yes. Not wanting the corpse to be desecrated by animals. And
maybe it kind of evolved as it went.
Because
there was this kind of process of burial, and then maybe people gathered thinking, oh, well, you know, and it became something. But now, obviously, it's very much a ritual that everyone does. There would not be... the rarest of cases where there wouldn't be a funeral and a celebration of someone's life.
I was just thinking, I just got a memory of something I heard relatively recently about wild turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I could be remembering this wrong.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, if one of them dies, I think they march in a circle.
Okay.
Around it. I'm going to have to look that up.
But yeah, it's there. You remember that from something.
I just remember the whole idea in my head. I've got this picture in my head of wild turkeys because I'm from Massachusetts where there's lots of wild turkeys.
Yeah, sure.
So in my head, it's very vivid. They were marching in a circle for a purpose, but I can't remember what the purpose was.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a... Because there's no purpose, is there? Why else would they be doing it apart from showing their... respects for the dead, I guess.
Exercise?
Exercise around a dead body.
I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, but then there's something quite... I guess there's something comforting about rituals that we like. There's something that draws us to it. Because we have them, we have so many. Like, say, we have life events. We have the cycle of the year. So, you know, Easter. Like, you know, again, from a religious calendar, we've got, you know, Easter, Halloween, we've got Christmas, and then obviously you've got your pagan calendar with winter solstice, the equinoxes, and then, so there's something we like about that. We're drawn to gathering together a set of steps that we go through, because I guess if I think about Christmas Day, that's usually, it's different from maybe each family, but there's a certain... order to it, isn't there? and yeah, I think it kind of gives us a sense of community, sense of kind of belonging, because we're all doing that same ritual. We're all, you know, gathering together and celebrating whatever we're celebrating. Yeah, and I think with things like weddings, for example, it's kind of witnessing as well, isn't it? Like being witnessed into that next life event. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of purposes to rituals, actually.
I think so. I remember that when I was growing up, there was always Christmas celebration of some sort in my family, and it would take different forms throughout as I got older and everything. And then after a while, I stopped doing it.
Christmas?
Pretty much. So...
Why was that?
I don't remember exactly, but it made sense to me at the time. I think it was when I moved further away, possibly. But what I'm getting at is I did notice that there was a vacant place in my life where the celebrations used to be.
Okay. So you kind of decided that it wasn't for you at the time. And then, sorry, and then felt a bit excluded, maybe? Did you?
It just didn't have a feeling of exclusion necessarily, but more that there was something missing in my life.
Interesting.
I guess more in retrospect, because when you really think about it, and I think back to you talked about Christmas and families, and I was thinking about my own Christmas and families and the time that I didn't participate. Looking back on that time, I can recognize the absence of the space where those rituals used to be.
Yeah. And I wonder if, because I think when people, because you choose your rituals as well, right? So we're talking about Christmas because we're of that faith. You know, there's obviously many other ways to celebrate around that time of year and the passing of a new year. So that kind of, you choose, maybe that's part of an identity as well. So, you know, I'm Jewish or I'm Christian or I'm Muslim, you know, and there's gatherings together as a celebration. And even if you don't particularly love what it is, like some of it I find Christmas quite overwhelming. I find it quite, you know, it's so commercialized now. I would rather drop it if I was honest. I'd rather just go, why are we doing this? This seems absolute nonsense. But I guess there is a feeling of identity and belonging with other people that do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that you might miss that if you don't. And maybe because I don't 100% buy into the commercial, I do it, like I said, I'll do it for the sake of getting together with family, but I much prefer creating, say, my own ones, like the winter solstice. I did a winter solstice circle, like full moons, like the women's circles, like my yoga classes, which also I believe have rituals, you know, that I create for that space. Maybe that's why I create my own ones, because I don't necessarily buy into the society, you know.
Well, I think it's important to have your own set of rituals, both in your personal and professional life, regardless of what you do.
Yeah. I was trying to rack my brain about my personal rituals, actually, because I was thinking, like, I really do kind of, yeah, every ceremony I do is very ritualized. It's very planned and everything has a purpose, and you know, for everything from the, you know, the incense that I'm putting together to the different songs, the format, that's the word I was thinking of earlier, format. and then I was thinking, do I actually have any personal rituals? And then I thought about the coffee in the morning, but I don't know what else I have that's my personal ritual, and I wonder if that I'm missing something there.
Well, before you go to a certain place to do a certain thing, do you have any rituals that you do, like you wear a certain kind of clothing, or you put on a certain kind of jewelry or something like that?
Maybe, yeah. Yes, probably to an extent.
Or say, if you're having people over, you kind of go through the ritual of preparing the house for company.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, maybe there's more rituals than I think there are.
Or maybe I'm just thinking too much, which is my usual problem.
Another ritual which I used to really find important, but I've actually stopped doing recently, and I'm going to pick it up again for 2024, was kind of journaling at the end of the day. And that for me was a real ritual of sitting down, you know, taking my book out, finding a quiet space and writing, you know, what I needed to. So I guess there's a kind of element of self-connection with the gatherings as well. Not gatherings, sorry, with the rituals. I'm thinking about it compared to the gatherings, because a kind of a wedding or, you know, any sort of big gathering is very much about other people, I suppose, and then a personal ritual is very much about yourself. So I think I need to pick that up again, is what I was thinking. Sort of light bulb moment. I was like, that's maybe what I've stopped doing, is the kind of personal ritual that I felt was quite enriching and connecting.
I think it's important for everyone to have some sort of conscious ritual.
Mm. I think so.
It adds, it could be a littlest thing, but it can add so much texture and, dare I say, magic to everyday life.
Mm, I think so. And I really kind of, I always congratulate the sort of people that come to any of my, you know, women's circles or forming ceremonies and gather together, because I'm like, well done for taking that space.
Mm.
Because it is so enriching. And I think I read something recently about women gathering in circles and how it raises their oxytocin level, so it can raise their kind of happiness levels, their confidence levels, their, you know, overall just feeling better, you know, that kind of, and that's just the gathering itself, like gathering together. So that's not including other parts of the ritual that also kind of enhance how you're feeling. And you know, I think it's really important to make sure that there's some rituals in your life, whether they're personal, whether they're gathering, but not kind of those imposed ones. Mm. So they're the ones that might feel a bit alien a little bit sometimes. Like, I remember I've been to 100 weddings and they're lovely, but they're all the same. And I remember when I got married, I just didn't want that at all. I was like, I just do not want a standard traditional wedding. I was like, I'm not interested. Mm. I don't want people staring at me. I don't like it.
And yet that's what you do every week, is you go and you purposely have lots of people staring at you.
Yes. But it just felt different. It felt really overindulgent. But anyway, I ended up getting married in Vegas and having an amazing time. But it was very different. I didn't want to conform to what I was told that ritual had to be.
Mm.
Yes. So I think there's something about choosing your rituals and making them personal to you. But again, that's everyone's choice, isn't it? Because most people love having a lovely traditional wedding. They look forward to it their entire lives. They have it. They've had the best day of their lives.
I think that more people than you think don't find it pleasurable or fun at all.
Probably. But that's good, isn't it? I guess that's that. But then maybe it's also about self-expression in these rituals.
Mm.
Kind of what is me? What am I projecting out in this ritual?
Well, I guess you could also take it as if you feel like you quote unquote have to go and participate in one of the dreaded rituals that you don't usually enjoy.
Mm.
If you think about it as not something I have to do, but to be honest, something you get to do. Because even if you don't enjoy the idea of why you're getting together, we're humans, we're social creatures. Yes. Our biology, our instinct, everything is set up for us to be social.
Yes.
So even if the reason why you're getting together isn't your thing, mm. you just remind yourself that there are a lot of people out there that don't have that. They don't have family. They don't have a community or a group of friends.
Yeah.
Especially elderly people as well.
Mm.
Just remind yourself how fortunate that we are to be able to go to something like that. And that may also give you a modicum of positivity about what you're about to do.
Yeah, because then it's really... it's that shared experience, isn't it? Whatever it is, whatever the top line meaning was for it, that shared experience and shared memories, that's always going to be positive, isn't it? It's never going to be, I mean, depending.
Well, even if it is negative.
Yeah.
It's memorable.
Exactly.
And one of my personal mantras is the thing that you hate the most about the people that are closest to you. So the thing that bugs you the most about what they do will be the thing you miss the most when they're not around anymore. Mm. I have to, and when I remind myself of that, regardless of the situation.
Yeah.
It's almost soothing.
Yes, I guess there is that. Because everyone's human. Everyone has their, you know, no one's perfect, are they?
And people like telling stories about, you know, the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving and all that.
Yeah, well, Thanksgiving is another big one, isn't it?
Not for us here.
But I find it fascinating how America goes so all out for all their kind of rituals / celebrations. How did you find that when you lived there? Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think it's kind of an expression, or do you think it's?
I think the idea of it and the actual gathering together.
Mm.
Whether you want to or not, as a family, if you could do it once a year, it just puts you back in touch. It is a familiar ritual to most people who are American.
Yeah.
And even if you don't want to do it, you dread it.
Yeah.
And the experience isn't the best, it's important.
Yeah. No, totally. The core of it's definitely important. But what I kind of meant was, you know how it gets kind of a bit out of control?
Oh, in terms absolutely.
Of, like, you know, buying things and the houses are all like looking amazing with lights everywhere. And I love it. Like, you know, if I watch Christmas films with, you know, all these amazing American films, I'm like, wow, it's amazing. But how does it feel kind of living it? Is it kind of...
I found it ostentatious.
Yeah.
And a bit much.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
And in my part of the States, in New England, people take Halloween very seriously.
Oh my God, I love Halloween in America. Honestly, it's my favorite time of the year to go. I love it. I don't even really like Halloween over here. But in America, whoa, it's amazing.
Although I have to say, when I started to see Halloween lights being put out, that's just a bit too much. But decorating for Halloween, I remember growing up as a kid, the Halloween decorations would come out, and it was a
ritual. We didn't have Halloween decorations. We do now, because we always kind of take things from over there, don't we? You know, like Elf on the Shelf was never a thing, and suddenly that's everywhere. That's an American tradition that's come over.
It's not an American tradition.
Is it not?
It's made up.
Yeah.
So it could have started anywhere, really.
Well, so is Father Christmas, but that one's technically American. Wasn't it? It was started by Coca-Cola, Father Christmas.
It was in the form that you see now by Coca-Cola.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not St. Nicholas and going back that way. But that's what I mean also. It's kind of fascinating, isn't it, how it evolves.
And it can mutate into something horrible.
Yes, it can do. Yeah, it can go too far. But if it makes people happy, is it a bad thing? I suppose is the...
As long as it does make people happy.
And it's not, getting people... Because what worries me, I think, is where there's like, that kind of showman one-upmanship. Like, do people get themselves into trouble because they have to have the best lights and the best looking house and the best presents and the best... And that's what worries me about Christmas, is that it gets a bit out of control, because are people getting themselves into trouble to fulfill some, you know, this sort of fantasy of the perfect Christmas that is just, where did that come from? You know, again, it doesn't come from the true meaning of the birth of Christ. You know, it really has evolved that ritual / celebration. I guess it's a different... it's a different thing.
Well, that's very prototypically American, though, isn't it? To make things bigger, brighter, better, more expensive.
I think it's not even just American. I think it's, again, you know, you were saying about it's kind of the human sort of condition to want to gather into groups. It's also human condition to want to, have the best of everything, isn't it? And just show the best and show your neighbours that you've got all this great stuff. And I think what happens is that, you know, businesses, retail, completely jump onto that and go, right, well, this is amazing. What we're going to do, like the amount of films I watched this year about, you know, the perfect toy, you know, that plastic toy that the kids had to have. And there was like all these crazy journeys to get the plastic toy. And I was just like, oh my And it just kind of like, it's too much, isn't it? I was just like, but that is what it's become. It's gone from a comforting ritual, I suppose, where you gather with family and share food and a gift to absolute commercialism. Commercialism that's gone out of control. And I find, like you said, I find it a little bit garish and ostentatious at times, Christmas. I just think, what's happened? We've all gone a bit mad here.
But like you said, as long as it does bring the pleasure or appreciation or joy for that person or family or whatever, or then even say the people that do it in Westfield, they do it for...
Yes, the Westfield Lights.
Yeah, it's for charity.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So portion of the donations go to charity. So it's that's...
It feels better.
Well, I can accept it more. I won't... Yeah. People talk about it. I said, I don't care about Christmas lights. I don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
I've seen enough. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why I stopped participating for a while. Because I worked in retail pharmacy for many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
And the amount of commercialism. Yeah, I'd work a 12-hour shift and hear Christmas music and over and over again. And hear, see giant Santas and reindeer. And see the people rushing around, stressing out because they have to get the perfect Christmas ready.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost my taste for it, I think.
Exactly. And that's why I created some of my my circles this year. And it really was about getting people out of that Christmas busyness. Like the winter solstice one. I did a New Year's women's circle, which again was kind of... Because again, New Year's Eve is another big one, isn't it? Where, people feel this kind of compulsion to have to go and have the best New Year and... Oh, Happy New Year! I've had a great one and plaster it all over social media. And it feels like it's pressure. I used to feel, especially when I was kind of more in my teens and things, that pressure of having the perfect New Year's Eve. Like, where are you going for New Year? And it was just this thing. Oh, but why? Where's that come from?
Well, I think as we get older and more experienced, we realize and we're more likely to choose our rituals a bit more carefully than... just accepting what everyone else does.
Yeah, that definitely comes with age. Yeah, that was a definite thing to be seen, to be at the best place and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just doing a New Year's Eve celebration in your own way is lovely. If it's just one person, if it's two people, if it is a family, if it's friends. Yeah, as long as it's not feeling pressurized to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just acknowledging an actual event that we all experience as a society. Mm. Everyone that uses the Gregorian calendar, we all experience the change of date. So no matter if you celebrate it or not, you're still going to have to write a different date the next day on a piece of paper if you're going to date it.
it's happening. And it depends if you want to gather with friends or not. I think it's a personal choice, isn't it? That kind of... The society rituals, it is a choice. Some of them feel more enforced than others. And some of them are completely your choice, whether you do it or not.
I think having your own personal rituals is just as important.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like you said, it's the reconnection with self, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Writing your journal in the evenings.
Exactly. And that can be a kind of spiritual ritual as well. It can be a meditation. That can be your ritual. It can be exercise, that like running might be your ritual. It can be anything. But as long as, it's the intention behind it, I think. The intention to switch off and do something for yourself.
Would you say that it could also be a mindfulness practice as long as you put your focus and energy towards that particular thing?
Yeah, I would say so. I think mindfulness can actually be all day, every day, depending on how you practice it. But if you're having a mindfulness sort of thing that you do, then that would be a ritual, I'd say. Because it's like interesting how similar it can be, kind of a religious ritual and then a spiritual ritual. Kind of a religious ritual would be prayer, I guess, and our spiritual ritual would be meditation. And I find them to be essentially the same thing. It's just that, yeah, one is has a focus to a higher... I'm trying to think of how to word it now, because they both do that a little bit. So, you know, because... So meditation, your connection to yourself, but possibly also to a higher source, to kind of more like the universe, mm-hmm. connection there. And then with religion, it's more focused on a deity that you believe in. But essentially, it's a very similar thing.
Yes, I agree. Mm. It is very similar. And I used to think people that... would pray, I think, why are you doing this? Why are you just saying words?
Mm.
You know, that doesn't even make sense to me. I have to know why by everything.
Yeah.
But thinking about it from the more spiritual point of view, it is similar to meditation, and it's also part of gathering if you do it in a group.
Yeah.
Ritual.
Yeah. It's just a different, I suppose, a different focus and a different intention.
Mm.
But it's, essentially the same. Yeah, not the same completely, but it's got the same feeling to it, I suppose.
I just realize, the older I get, the more I realize how important it is to have these rituals in your life. Because I moved away from the States. I moved here to England in 2015. And although I have been back from time to time to see everyone, those places that used to be the family gatherings, even if I didn't particularly feel like going to one at any particular point, that is missing.
Mm.
And... of course, you don't realize it until you don't have it.
Yeah, of course. So would you create one to replace it, or?
Well, we have our own here.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful, and it's actually given me a whole new appreciation for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because I lost that quite a few years ago. And so it's, I think, the appreciation of ritual, how important it is, not necessarily to yourself, but to other people. So even if you can do it from a non-self-centered point of view and say that you are assisting someone else in their joy.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
So even if you don't, quote-unquote, enjoy it, if someone else you're with is enjoying it because you're there with them.
Yeah, and it's worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And then I suppose as long as you've got your own rituals that you're happy with, you know, the ones that fulfill you, then that's fine to participate in someone else's rituals as well, isn't it?
What would you consider a fun ritual for people?
A fun ritual? dancing? Is that a ritual? I feel like, I feel music, song and dance come into... quite a lot of rituals.
I think it depends on what your idea of fun is.
Well, there you go. Exactly. But
if you think about, you're going to go out and you know you're going to have fun.
Mm.
Usually whatever it is you're going to do can be a form of ritual.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So that's why dancing came into my head, I suppose, because I do like to go and have a little dance. But say your thing is
knitting,
art. Exactly, that would be like art is a perfect one for ritual, isn't it? Something that's I guess probably anything that's creative that you're not over intellectualizing. You know, something that's just fun. You know, you're creating for the sake of it. You're seeing what happens. Go with the flow.
Takes it out of yourself as well, right?
Yeah.
Takes yourself out of yourself.
Yeah, because knitting, I guess, it's repetitive, isn't it? So that's why it can be like a meditation, because it's just, you know, And art is a meditation because you're really focusing on one thing. You're not, well, hopefully, if you're, you know, hopefully you're not thinking about 100 other things at the same time. But that's, I guess, the idea of something like art or knitting or anything creative, is to focus on that one thing. And then that's what meditation is. So yeah, that would be a ritual for people who enjoy it.
So when I create my music.
Yes, I would say that's your, that would be your ritual, would it?
Yeah, that's one of them. I have many.
Yeah, yeah.
But I find myself not even really consciously being aware of it, but I go into the zone. Mm-hmm. I go into the flow. I go into, it's almost like a trance state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I find myself sometimes creating without thinking.
Yes.
Just letting it go through me.
Yeah, exactly. That's the perfect place to be, isn't it? That's full, you know, just awareness to exactly what you're doing.
And if I try to do it without giving it my full attention, it never comes out the way I want it.
Well, that's interesting because I just sneezed off mic, and you said bless you, and then said, "Oh, is that a ritual?" And we both kind of looked at each other with question marks in our eyes because that's really interesting, isn't it? I thought, well, it's not a ritual because it's not necessarily, but it's superstition. But then, how similar is a superstition to a ritual?
Well, superstition is not necessarily something you do. It's something that you think.
Something that you think.
Like 13 is an unlucky number or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
But it can be something you do, like not walking underneath ladders.
Hmm. Is that a ritual?
I'd say that's a superstition. Because So I guess the reason you say bless you, isn't it something about when you sneeze, you say bless you, just something about the devil, isn't it?
Honestly, I have no idea.
That's mad, isn't it? So now I'm thinking about rituals that we've adopted that we don't even know why.
Well, you know how much I like finding out why, so...
I know. But then I was thinking about the sort of adopted rituals. So for me...
Is that like a ritual that doesn't have any home that you take it in?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or a learnt ritual or a habitual ritual.
Oh, habitual.
Habitual ritual. But like, so yeah, something like that where you said bless you, but I say, so at the end of obviously every yoga class, I will say namaste.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that's a definite ritual because that's how I will close the space. And that is an adopted ritual because it's not one that I've come up with. It's one from, you know, ancient India that, you know, that's been passed down and passed down. But I know why I say that one. That has intention. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel that's a ritual. Whereas maybe, yeah, so things like saluting at magpies, I don't know if you've ever done that one.
No, me personally, but I've heard all kinds of things about magpies.
There's loads of superstitions. And then I think, why do I do that? Because I don't necessarily believe, so it's one for sorrow, two for joy, isn't it? So if there's one magpie, so what I've been told is if you salute it three times, then you don't get bad luck.
I heard you have to say, hello, Mr. Magpie.
Three times or just
no,
once?
Just once.
See, it's completely made up. Means nothing. It's a ritual that we've just adopted for no reason. That's interesting.
But since I say hello to all the birds anyway, I do it all the time.
Fair enough. But yeah, superstition, I suppose, is a whole different thing because that takes it from something very positive. Rituals generally are positive, right? Can you think of any negative rituals? Or
not that I know of. Is there a ritual that we do to avoid something or to keep something from happening or for luck?
I suppose something like smudging, where you light sage and smudge the space. That's to keep, you know, bad energy away, isn't it? That's definitely a ritual. That's something I do.
That's to dissipate any negative energy, but it's also part of a ritual because you're doing it because you want positive energy. So
yeah, exactly.
Is it
it's not negative.
It's not avoidance, a total avoidance. I don't know. I'll definitely have to think about that.
Yeah.
But it's
so maybe superstition essentially is to stop bad things happening, isn't it? So if a mirror breaks, you've got 7 years bad luck and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to break a mirror.
So if you, so it comes from action consequence, right?
Yeah. If you believe it. I don't particularly believe that I'd get 7 years bad luck if I break a mirror.
You know what's going to happen, don't you?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to break a mirror now. And I'll be like, no! But then some I do instinctively, like the magpie one. Why do I do that? How bizarre.
Does it matter, though? Really?
Wow, the wind outside is going mad.
Yeah, well.
Something's going on. It's saying, don't mess with the superstitions.
Well, just to, I guess just a, it's kind of important to look at that, those kinds of things in your life, and then maybe...
We have to question everything, don't you? So now I'm thinking, why do I do that? And I do this, things like, what about not stepping on drains? Do you remember that? That's one.
No.
Or not going underneath scaffolding.
I know ladders, but not scaffolding.
I think maybe ladders is morphed into scaffolding.
What else? I don't, what else?
I'm trying to think about the superstitions.
Do you care about black cats?
I've always owned black cats, okay. So I think they're lucky, personally. But then that's just interpretation. It's things like if you spill salt, you have to throw it over your left shoulder. I can't remember now.
I would be doing that every time I ate because I spill salt. I put salt on everything and without fail, I get up from the table and there's salt everywhere.
Bad luck. It's not exactly. It's nonsense. But where's that come from? I feel like that's a whole nother thing for us to look into. Superstition.
Well, it ties in with belief, doesn't it?
Yes.
Belief systems and it does also tie into... ritual, and just like everything else that we've talked about, it's all connected, isn't it?
Of course it is.